We were at Lynn Co-op Oil Company today to highlight how big oil is using their monopoly over the pipeline system to control the gasoline that's available here in Iowa to the detriment of E15. And basically they're using their monopoly power over distribution to prevent retailers who want to from selling E15 in the summer months. And that has implications both to consumers who would like to buy E15 and who save money buying E15, but it also speaks to, quite frankly, the hypocrisy of big oil that goes to Washington, D.C. and tells lawmakers, you've got to get rid of the federal renewable fuel standard because we can't sell anything over E10. They put up their bogus blend wall argument and say, oh, retailers don't want to sell E15, consumers don't want to buy it. Well, that's simply not true. The reality is big oil is doing everything in their power to prevent the sale of higher blends. And one of the tools, and it's just one, they have several, one of the tools they have is their petroleum distribution monopoly. With that, we'll get some comments from Representative Bruce Braley, who serves on the House Energy and Commerce Committee, and then we'll get Jim with Lynn Co-op Oil on here as well. So with that, Congressman.
Thanks, Monty. I've said on multiple occasions that there is a war on renewables being funded by big oil, and the front line of that battleground is playing out in places like Lynn Co-op Oil Company in Marion, which I visited today. And Jim Bechtold, who is the service manager at Lynn Co-op, did a great job of describing exactly what Monty is talking about, how consumers who want a higher grade ethanol blend, in this case E15, are being denied that choice, and he had his pump bagged and couldn't sell to them because of quirks in the supply chain that are being directly determined by big oil, and that's that they're refusing to ship the blend stock for E15 that's necessary during the summer months and keeps people who pull up into service stations like Lynn Co-op from getting a lower cost fuel that they want. And of course, that's exactly why the renewable fuel standard was passed in the first place, to make sure that we were providing a cleaner burning fuel that would help reduce our dependence on foreign oil and provide consumers greater choices at a lower cost. And we've seen these high gas prices in the Midwest this summer that are directly being influenced by the fact that people are being denied competition where they could get a lower cost fuel. And that's why it's important for Iowans to realize exactly what's going on and how their choices at the pump are being limited due to actions taken in violation of the intent of the renewable fuel standard. So that's why I joined Monty and Jim today to talk about how this is affecting consumers at the pump, but also in the longer term, how it's threatening the Iowa economy because of commitments that have been made by people like Jim Bechtold, like my neighbor Jim Lind in Waterloo, who took the time and energy to reinvent their businesses to be able to account for a new consumer demand that now is being restricted. So with that, Monty, I'll turn it back to you.
Yeah, and we've got Jim in here now. And I would just say that, you know, one of the key things about this is we're not asking for something that doesn't exist. The gasoline blend stock we need to make E15 in the summer is available. It flows through the very pipeline system that services Iowa. But they will not let us take it out of the pipeline here. They sent it to Kansas City before us in the pipeline system because of the clean air requirements there, and they use it in Chicago, which is after us in the pipeline system. But they won't let it might flow through Iowa, but they won't let us take it out in Iowa. Why? They don't want to give up 5% market share if they don't have to. And so they're using this quirk to limit fuels. And that's why not only is their attack on the federal renewable fuel standard unfounded, but it shows exactly why we need the federal renewable fuel standard, and that is the high profit scenario for big oil is almost always not the low cost fuel scenario for consumers. And with that, to talk a little bit about his experience selling E15 and with what he's had to do here in the last couple of days is Jim Bechtold with Lynn Co-op.
Yeah, well, thank you. Just wanted to let you know that on Friday night, I had to bag our pumps so we couldn't sell E15 any longer. because of what Monty said, the rules and regulations. We'll be able to sell it again September 15th, but through the summer months where the high gas prices are, we can't offer that fuel to 2,000 and newer for a more economical benefit to the consumer. Really can't see why we can't do that. We can sell E10, E85, E30 to flex fuel vehicles, but we can't sell E15. There's a quirk in the law somewhere that probably needs to be changed. On Saturday morning, I had three consumers come in and ask me why the pumps was bagged. I said, because we can't sell it, explain to them, and they don't understand. It's really hard on the consumer to understand some of the rules and regulations that have come down to us. We've taken the effort here at Linn Co-op to put in the blend pumps to be able to sell E15, the flex fuel vehicles, et cetera. The E15 is important to sell to 2001 and newer. It's more economical. It is better cleaning fuel. It's better performing fuel. We can sell it to 2001 and newer, and the consumer is starting to really demand that. I'm seeing that through my sales. Hopefully, through our message with renewable fuels, et cetera, we'll start getting the laws changed or be able to get the blend stock needed to sell the fuel through the summer months. That's my experience. We're trying hard to make farmers more economically viable and the consumer saving them money and meeting the renewable fuel standards. Hopefully we can get this changed at least for next summer.
Okay, that was Jim Bechtold with Linn Co-op. This is Monty Shaw again. And what you've just heard is a retailer who wants to sell E15 and who has customers who want to buy it, but without the proper blend stock so that we can blend a 15% ethanol fuel and meet the federal specifications, we're forced to restrict that down to only the FFVs. And the difference there is, you know, FFVs in Iowa make up maybe 5 to 10% of the market, whereas the 2001 and newer vehicles make up, they purchase about 85% of the fuel in the state. So it's a big difference in terms of our ability to sell that fuel. With that, we throw it open to questions. I'm not sure how long Representative Braley will be able to join us, but he may still be on. Jim and I are here, and we just ask that you state your name and a question, and we'll try to sort them out.
This is Jerry Perkins at Biofuels Journal. I'd like to ask a two-part question. First to Monty Shaw or Jim, who specifically, which companies are blocking the sale of E15? I'd like their names and where they're from. And to Congressman Braley, you're on the House Energy Committee, Energy and Commerce Committee, that has jurisdiction over the RFS. What do you plan to do to remedy this situation?
Why don't we let the congressman go first if he's still on the phone? I don't know when we'll lose him.
Yeah, I'm still on the phone, and what's been going on is that the Energy and Commerce Committee has been holding a series of white paper presentations on the continuing validity of the renewable fuel standard. And I have been very actively pushing back against some of the bias that's been emerging in those papers, particularly from representatives that have a strong connection to big oil, and making sure that the science is properly stated about the capabilities of renewable fuels and the economic trade-offs that we've been discussing on the call today. But the biggest problem right now is that we need to do continued oversight on behalf of the American consumer of whether or not the way that the RFS is being enforced and implemented is actually contrary to the way that it was intended at the time it was passed. And I will be working with my colleagues on the oversight subcommittee to make sure that we're trying to get answers for American consumers like those who show up at Jim Bechtold's service station.
I sent a letter to some refineries asking why they couldn't supply that blend stock in Iowa. And they basically told me that it was not them that could not supply it. They blamed it on the Magellan pipeline. So they're passing the buck back between big oil and the pipeline but it's still going through the pipeline from Kansas City through Iowa into Chicago. They're passing the buck. I don't know why, but it seems like all the refineries do not want to sell that blend stock in Iowa.
Jerry, just to clarify, who is the owner of the pipeline?
Magellan Pipeline.
Yeah, Jerry, I don't have the complete list in front of me, but Shell, BP, Sinclair, Flint Hills, I think there's maybe another four or five, basically anyone who's had supply in Iowa. I think one or two responses, most didn't even take the time and have the courtesy to respond that I'm aware of to the group of retailers that sent this letter. Those that did try to say, it's a common carrier pipeline and we can't just do that. We can only move the products that are in the pipeline and this isn't approved. Well, that's just not true. So they tried to blame it on Magellan, but our bone, I want to be very clear, the problem here is not Magellan. Magellan will move whatever product the refiners put into the pipeline, and they will take out of the pipeline in Iowa whatever products the refiners let them. Magellan doesn't make the decisions, the refiners do. And so this product, in fact, there's three different specifications on the Magellan pipeline system that services Iowa that go to Kansas City, that any one of those three would be suitable for blending with 15% ethanol in the summer months, but they won't send it here. They have to send it to Kansas City because Kansas City has a clean air problem, and so they have to have this cleaner burning gasoline there, part of which means it's lower volatility, which is what we need. And so it's in the same pipeline system that comes here. They just need to let us have it here. We looked at trying to truck the product from a Kansas City or a Chicago to Iowa, but the cost of trucking is prohibitive. Even with the lower cost ethanol, it eats up the savings. So really what we need refiners to do, we're not asking them to produce a new fuel. We're not asking to even put it in a pipeline system it's not in. We're just asking them to open the spigot in Iowa.
Congressman Braley, this is Tom Ryder with WNEX Radio in Yankton, South Dakota. My question is, with these hearings that you're holding on this assumed attempt to roll back the RFS or repeal it, are you bringing up this distribution problem, this E15 problem? Will you be bringing it up?
Tom, let me just clarify. There have been no hearings on repealing the RFS. What's happening is that the committee is seeking input from a variety of sources in the form of these white papers on whether there should be modifications made to the renewable fuel standard. That's what's been going on at this point. But certainly, I am then working to try to get clarification on the types of concerns that have been expressed here on the call today, but against the broader backdrop of a war on renewables by Big Oil, which will not be happy until the RFS is repealed. So we're fighting a two-front war. One is trying to solve the practical problems that Jim and Monty have been talking about in getting lower-cost fuel to consumers this summer. The other, an ongoing assault on the renewable fuel standard by those who don't want it and want to see it repealed. And so I expect that over the course of the next 18 months, the Energy and Commerce Committee will eventually be moving toward hearings, and that's when it's going to be especially important to get the real-world view out on what's happening here in the Midwest.
Are there other states that are having this E15 problem that you guys are seeing in Iowa?
This is Monty again. It would affect any conventional gasoline area. If you happen to live, from a consumer perspective, if you happen to live, or from a retailing perspective, if your establishment is close enough to one of the terminals where the big oil companies are required, in essence forced, to provide the lower volatility blend stock because of the clean air standards, such as Kansas City, St. Louis, Chicago, and those types of places, you could access that product even though they don't want you to blend it with 15% ethanol. You could still blend it with 15% ethanol. So I think there are a couple of E15 stations down in the Kansas City area that probably, I don't know, I represent Iowa, but probably have the ability to truck it, blend it with E15, and still sell it at a lower price. But if you're, once you get so many miles away from those terminals where they have to supply the lower volatility blend stock, and you can't afford to truck it, you're pretty much at the mercy of Big Oil. They built this distribution monopoly with federal loan guarantees and with literally a century of taxpayer subsidies. And have this, you know, it's good. It's efficient. Let's give credit where credit's due. It's hard to compete with moving fuel outside over long distances unless it's in the pipeline. And that gives the refiners an incredible amount of leverage to impact independent businesses, independent retailers like Lynn Co-op, and to dictate to them what products they offer, even though they don't own this retailing station we're speaking at today. They don't own the others, but they can still manipulate the products that are available through their control of the pipeline system. And that's one of the reasons, to me, that emphasizes exactly why we need the renewable fuel standard to crack open that monopoly, whereas they go to D.C. and try to say, we need to get rid of it. Well, of course they want to get rid of it. They like their monopoly.
This is Ellen Ferguson with Congressional Quarterly. Do you sell other blends of ethanol, gasoline?
Yes, we do. We sell the E85 for flex fuel vehicles. We sell E30, which is also a flex fuel vehicle. That's 30% ethanol. We sell the E10, of course. And then we're attempting to sell E15 through the summer months to 2001 and newer vehicles. But that we have to stop. So.
Okay, and pardon my ignorance on this. For the E30, are there restrictions on selling that during the summer?
Just no. No restrictions on E30 as long as it goes into a flex fuel vehicle only. Same way with E85.
One of the quirks in the federal system is if you're selling it to flex fuel vehicles only, it's considered an alternative fuel, and they have different standards. So you're able to sell the E30s, the E85, even E15 in the summer if you restrict it to the flexible fuel vehicles, but that's just a minute portion of the cars you could be selling E15 to. So that's the trick, is that we really need the access to sell the E15 to all the vehicles that the EPA approved it for, which is 2001 and newer, because they make up, you know, 85% of the fuel sold. And again, it's one of the quirks in the law that Big Oil is using their distribution monopoly to take advantage of.
Okay, thank you.
Congressman Braley, this is Elliot Blackburn from Argus Media. I was curious if you think that the way to address this, you know, are you looking at, would you push for some kind of reform to the distribution rules, or would you look for E15 to be granted an RVP waiver, or what do you see as the best way to address the situation from what you can do?
Well, from a standpoint of what I can do in the short term, it's put pressure on the federal regulatory officials who are required to enforce the renewable fuel standard and look at ways that we can clarify the delivery system that's impacting the ability of people like Jim to get this product to their customers. Because the thing that makes no sense to Iowans is how you have a pipeline that services both Kansas City and Chicago and comes right through Iowa, and yet you can't pull the fuel blend stock out that you need for E15 in Iowa. And so it's not a matter of whether or not the blend stock exists. It's a matter of making it available to retailers like Jim. And that's what we have to focus on, is how we can break up that logjam and make sure that it's done consistent with the intent of the RFS and existing federal regulatory authority.
This is Monty Shaw. I might just also add, you know, to us here in Iowa, there's two impacts of this issue. One is the fact that it literally restricts fuel choice for consumers and takes the cheapest fuel, the lowest cost fuel you can put in your non-FFV was E15. Now you're not allowed to do that anymore because the restrictions that the Big Oil puts on the blend stock. So that's one part, is kind of the consumers at the time of high gas prices are having this lower cost option taken away from them. The other thing that concerns us is Big Oil is out there attacking the renewable fuel standard, saying, oh, gee, there's this so-called, you know, we call it the bogus E10 blend wall that they're trying to convince lawmakers and regulators exists. And in reality, it doesn't exist because we could sell E15 just fine if they'd let us. And so they're out there in D.C. saying we can't sell higher blends. Retailers don't want to sell it. Consumers don't want to buy it. And what you've heard today from Jim is there are retailers who want to sell it. There are consumers who want to buy it, and it's Big Oil who's preventing it from happening. So there's a little bit of hypocrisy going on, and we want to expose that, shine some light on it, and make sure that we keep the RFS intact, and then we can also move forward to get these quirks out of the system as well.
But in a way, wouldn't an EPA waiver allow you to sidestep that? Is there a reason why addressing this at the distribution level is the faster and better solution?
EPA has said they don't have the regulatory authority to grant E15 the 1 pound waiver. I wish they'd look a little harder. Congress could certainly take action, but let's face it, it's hard right now for Congress to pass a resolution that says Happy Mother's Day. So what we're hoping is there's also a market-based solution, and that is we need the monopoly to crack. We need a refiner out there. One will do to say, hey, I'm going to let you take the product out in Iowa. They'll throw up a bunch of other smoke screens about this, that, and the other excuses on why they don't do it. But if you peel back even one layer of the onion, the excuses don't stand up. It would be pretty simple to let this happen. And there are big retailers in Iowa, and I'm not allowed to name names, but there are big retailing chains in Iowa who have said that this summertime issue is what's holding them back from offering E15. So it's not a demand issue. The demand would be there if we could sell E15 year-round. It's not a fuel issue. They have the fuel. It's in the pipeline. It's a market protection issue. There's a quirk in the system. They can take advantage of it to protect an additional 5% market share for the product that they refine. And that's why the RFS was passed in the first place. The high profit scenario for refiners is not often the low-priced scenario for consumers. And if we don't get competition in the marketplace, it's consumers who pay the price. That's why we're here to defend the RFS and to try to get these fuel choices back out there for Iowans to – it's a choice. No one's requiring them to do it. No one's requiring refiners to sell E15 or consumers to buy it. We just want that choice out there, and right now Big Oil is making it so that choice does not exist for the next 3 months.
And Lonnie, I have to drop off, but before I do, I just wanted to make this observation for anybody on the call outside of Iowa. Gas prices in Iowa have historically been below national averages and the highest costs in the country. Recently, gas prices in Iowa are higher than just about any place else in the country. And I can tell you when consumers pull up to the pump and they see cheaper prices for blends like E15, they're going to look at it and they're going to educate themselves on what the benefits are from purchasing that lower cost fuel. And that's why this problem is so acute right now here in Iowa. So thanks for allowing me to be on the call, and I have to run now. Thanks.
Thank you. Jim and I are here. If there's other questions, we're happy to take them.
So I have some questions. It's Brian Burke from Convenience Store News Magazine. First, I wanted to know, Jim, how long have you been selling E15? Have there been any misfueling problems that have happened, and have there been any concerns on your end about legal ramifications if that happens? My next question is, I just want to confirm why you can sell it other times of the year and not in the summer. And the last question for everyone is, I just want to know what your response is to the AAA concern or statement, I guess you could say, about E15 damaging engines and warranties will not be accepting of E15 automobile warranties. Thanks.
This is Jim Bechtold. On the first question, as far as liability reasons, the pumps are marked. They're labeled efficiently for people to read them. We do due diligence. If we see a vehicle out there that isn't 2001 or newer or closer, we'll go out and look on the VIN number and make sure it is. It's not that difficult to do. Once we have most of our consumers educated, they know what E15 is and they use it in their 2001 and newer vehicle. I really have not had any problem with misfueling that I know of. I've trained my employees not to let that happen. If one passes through, it slipped through the net, and we try not to do that. I don't think there's any liability reasons as long as you've educated the consumer, educated your employees, and have got the pump labeled correctly.
And how when did, I think you asked all
the and also, we've been selling that since September of last year.
September? Okay, thank you.
September of last year when we were able to sell it. September 17th, we started selling that on a Monday, and we've been selling it ever since other than till Saturday. So,
yeah, in fact, it's ironic. You wanted to start selling it earlier when EPA finally got all their, you know, pathway put in place, but because of the summertime issue, we had to wait for the summer season to be over. So that's why it was September 16th or
September 17th.
17th.
Yeah.
17th.
Okay. I'll take the stab at the technical question. This is Monty, and then we can go back to AAA. The reason summer is different than winter is the volatility limits are different in the summer. And so the volatility limit in the winter, most people think there isn't one. I think there actually is one, but it's so high it doesn't matter. So E15 doesn't need, in other words, the gasoline they provide us for blending with E10 in the winter, you can blend E15 with it as well, and you're still under the volatility cap. In the summer, when they're much more concerned about evaporative emissions, the 9-pound on the revapor pressure scale limit, so they'll send the gas up at 9 pounds, and then you blend 10% with it, you get the 1-pound waiver, you're still cool, you're still under the limit. But E15 doesn't have that 1-pound limit, so you when you start with the 9-pound fuel, you can't add ethanol to it at the low percentages like 10 and 15 and still be under the 9-pound limit. So it's just, believe me, the oil companies would use the same quirk in the winter if they could, you know, or the guys that are closer to Kansas City that can still sell E15 in the summer because Kansas City has a low volatility gasoline there for their clean air program. It's not that the refiners are happy they're taking that low volatility gasoline and blending 15% with it and continuing to sell it year round, but they can't stop it. But here in Iowa, where they're not forced to provide the clean air or the lower volatility gasoline to any of our terminals in Iowa because we don't have any clean air problems, we're 100% conventional gasoline, or don't have any portals, if you will, any terminals where we can go pick up that low volatility gasoline cost effectively. We'd have to drive to Kansas City, and then the trucking is like something like 17 cents a gallon or something, and poof, there goes your savings. So we, you know, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it does. It actually, if you think about it, none of that really does make sense. But that's how the regulations work.
Okay, they're crazy regulations. Well, actually, before you answer the AAA part, Jim, what is the one you, I guess, let's say Friday, the last day before you had to bag the pumps, what was the pricing difference between E15 and regular petroleum
at the pump? 15 cents a gallon.
15 cents a gallon? Okay.
Right.
Between
the unleaded and the E15.
Right.
Just to be clear, it was a nickel then between the E10.
E10 and nickel between the E10 and the E15. So.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he sells 87 clear and 89 E10 and then was selling the E15 as well. So it was 15 cents from the clear product.
Okay, got it.
As far as AAA, and Jim can weigh in on this in terms of, I can just tell you from his actions, obviously it hasn't worried him a lot. You know, AAA first bashed ethanol in the 1930s. You know, we sent him a letter asking him where'd they get the money, where'd the idea come from, all this other stuff, and they won't respond. I mean, they're playing off the talking points of big oil. It's unfortunate. You know, I canceled my own personal AAA membership when they attacked E15. You know, they've been helpful. If my wife or I run out of gas somewhere or you have a flat tire, but and that's what they're good at. They didn't do any independent testing. In fact, you know, the only thing they apparently did on their own, and I'd love to know who paid for this, is they supposedly surveyed consumers to see, you know, what was the awareness of E15. And they found out that only 5% of Americans were aware of E15. Well, at that point in time, I think it was offered in two stations. You know, the fact that 5% of Americans already knew about E15 when it's not even sold in their markets, and we're not promoting it in markets where it's not sold, was actually encouraging to us. What they should have done is they should have called up people like Jim and done surveys here and said, hey, where it's being sold, where it's labeled, where consumers actually have access to it, is there awareness, are there concerns, are there problems? And as Jim told you earlier, he hasn't had one. So it appears very much to me as though it's a pay-to-play situation, and it's something that we'll have to deal with. But you know, that nickel a gallon savings from the E10 or the 15-cent savings from clear gas is a pretty powerful motivator. The testing that the EPA through the DOE did was pretty definitive, and it's been out there for several months now, and I'm not aware of a single reported problem with E15. On the labeling side, it's always amazing to me too that we think people who are licensed drivers, who can take a 2-ton vehicle 80 mile an hour down the interstate and make split second decisions that affect life and death and how they drive their car, and we're okay with that, but we also, on the other hand, supposedly think they're too stupid to read a label that says E15 for 2001 and newer cars. I personally think that they're either smart enough to read that label and understand it, or maybe they shouldn't have a driver's license to begin with. But, you know, that's me. In Iowa here, we kind of maybe view things a little more cut and dried.
Okay, and how about the part about that supposedly automobile manufacturers are not going to if you have an engine problem through the by using this fuel, they won't accept that through their warranties system. How are you working with that?
I'm glad you put it that way, because most of the coverage of this would say they won't warranty the fuel or void your warranty, and that's absolutely not true. The only way the warranty could be voided is if the autos tie the problem to the use of E15, not even just the use of ethanol, but to the fact that the extra 5% of ethanol is what caused the problem. This is no different than what went through in the early 80s with E10, because none of those cars were warranted for E10 because they were built before E10 was on the market. And lo and behold, over time, all that went away. Eventually, the automakers came around and go, you know, I've asked lawyers, you know, because we've said, hey, how do we tell people like Jim that they're going to be okay? So we had lawyers going, look, there weren't big class action lawsuits. There wasn't anything else. And I'll let Jim answer, too. The only other thing I'd add real quick is, you know, retailers have liability insurance. And so they don't pay if there was a lawsuit or an engine damage, which, quite frankly, we don't expect. But if there was, they don't pay that claim. They pay insurance premiums. And in Iowa, we went to the I think there's two or three insurance companies that do most of the insuring of retailers in Iowa. And so we went to them and said, when your customers add E15 to their product mix, you know, they've got insurance, it's covering the other products. When they add E15 as a registered fuel, what happens to their premium? And the answer was, it doesn't change a penny. And so the insurance companies, who are in theory the experts, it's their business, don't see a problem. If they knew they were going to be paying out a lot of settlements, believe me, the premiums would change. So that's how we view it. And Jim, the last thing I might say is, we also find it interesting that AAA is really worried about E15, which is approved for your cars, by the EPA, and yet they don't say a word about millions and millions and millions and millions of 84-octane gasoline going into cars in the mountain states, which is also there's not a single auto manufacturer that recommends the use or coverage of 84-octane fuel in their car, and yet millions and millions of gallons go in that every day. So it appears to me that the oil companies care an awful lot about the automobile warranty statements when it helps them make more money, and that they don't give a darn about the automobile warranty statements when by ignoring them, they can make more money by selling the substandard fuels out in the mountain states. So with that, Jim, I don't know if you have any AAA.
No comment on AAA.
Jim, what stations do you have it at?
What?
Is it just one gas station?
We just have one service station, yes. There's others in there. There's one in Bergen.
We have six.
Does anyone else sell E15 in the state?
We have six gasoline retailers that are were selling E15 as a registered fuel. We have several others that have it in blender pumps right now, restricted to FFVs as we're working through hose configuration issues coming out of the EPA. But this fall, with some of the changes going on with the products coming up the pipeline in the winter and different things, we hope to see a big jump. But it's been tough. Big Oil's been very aggressive in convincing a lot of retailers of just what you said. Gee, if you offer this fuel, you're going to instantaneously be sued out of existence and you're going to lose your business. It takes pretty brave folks like Jim to wade through all that stuff and to put it out there for their customers. But for those that have, the sales have been good.
Okay. Did the other five stations have to bag up also on Saturday?
Yes, in Iowa, there's no way to right now to cost effectively get that right blend stock. So they either bag them or you relabel them for flexible fuel vehicles only. Because again, once you're restricted to FFVs only, it's no longer a registered fuel. It's an alternative fuel which doesn't have the same vapor pressure limit. Same exact fuel, but by restricting who you sell it to the FFVs only, you can still sell it in the summer months. Doesn't necessarily make a lot of common sense, but that is the way the regulations work.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Any other questions? Well, thanks for those who are on the call. If you need anything else, just let us know, and we'll try to follow up. And hopefully, if you didn't get a press release, we did send a press release out that included some background that tries to, as best as we can, without going into 83 pages, explain some of the rules that we discussed here more generally. So if you have any follow-ups, just let us know. Thank you.